A lot of times for a man, what he is what he does. And, you know, my grandfather started right on this little farm outside of town. And we've been growing cotton there since time began.
James Failing's family may have been growing cotton since time began, but things just aren't what they used to be. Failing used to plant 1,200 hectares of cotton annually. This year, he's put in less than 40 hectares. The rest of his land is now devoted to soybeans and rice.
To be a cotton farmer now, you almost have to be sentimental about it, because economically, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's much more difficult to grow. It's much more labor-intensive, management-intensive, and it won't cash flow in today's market.
Nevertheless, the nation's cotton farmers produce 20 million bales of cotton a year. Only 14 million are used domestically in the clothing and furniture industries. That leaves the remaining quarter of the harvest for export, where it faces competition from the world's leading cotton producers, China and India. Art Smith, an agronomy agent with Mississippi State University's Extension Service, says those countries have an economic advantage.
Their cost of production and the fact that they can operate factories and mills a lot cheaper than we can naturally tends to draw the cotton. And I would say that is just part of the business cycle.
Smith notes that foreign competition is only part of the equation. Other crops bring in more money.
We've had tremendous increases in the price of soybeans, wheat, corn, and really haven't seen that kind of market appreciation in cotton.
James Failing agrees that there are many reasons for today's farmers to invest in other crops.
Cotton is the most demanding crop that there is. It's very finicky, you know, from the seed to get it to come out of the ground. And there are a host of pests, both, you know, weed, but primarily insect, that plague it. And you don't have the variety of chemicals that you can put on other crops.
Yet there's just something about cotton that keeps a special few tending the fields. Failing says planting cotton goes deeper than tradition, or the fact that it keeps those who run the cotton gin and warehouses employed. Like a fine wine, it has its own special allure. It's a philosophy and a way of life.
I like actually growing the plant. My wife will tell you that I am my most unpleasant when you plant, because planting cotton is just hard. And anybody who tells you that they can, you know, set a planter is either a fool or a liar. Growing the crop is fun when you're doing your weed control and your irrigation and you're trying to set fruit, and, you know, I guess that's the hopeful stage, because you do have direct input.
More research has gone into cotton than any other crop in the South. It has improved the plant's yield and made it more resistant to pests. However, Art Smith observes, all that genetic technology comes at a price. More expensive cotton seeds, adding to the cost of growing the crop.
Paying more for the technology is the price of doing business, because you've got to have an influx of capital to continue to do your research. You got to take a profit. It's vitally important that the research and the development continues at as rapid pace as possible. And you can't do it without having some return on your investment, a huge return on your investment.
Art Smith says despite the decline in cotton planting, he's not ready to say King Cotton has been exiled from the South. Cotton prices are predicted to improve in 2010, when there will be less carryover from the previous years. And it may also be profitable for farmers to put their equipment back in service.
We've got a lot of brand new pickers that people own that are in the shed. They can stay in the shed until the prices get better. How long they'll let it stay there before they make a decision that they're through with cotton, it would be hard to say, but I would say that it can stay there a while.
The cotton plants in the Delta fields are still quite small. A wet spring made planting a little more difficult this year. Row upon row of tiny seedlings are now poking out of the muddy field on Failing's farm. He describes what will happen over the coming months.
It goes from being green and soft to mottled brown and hard. When it's mature, it dries, opens up, and that's when you see the white fluffy cotton. So long as it doesn't rain on it when it's doing this, it just gets whiter and fluffier, and a good year, it looks like a snowbank, and it's a dazzling field where you just honestly need sunglasses. It can be so white.
That's only if it doesn't rain. If it rains after the fluffy cotton has come out, the plant droops and the cotton becomes discolored, losing much of its value.
Times are hard for cotton production. The ripple effect throughout the community and county is very difficult. I have lots of good friends that are, you know, merchants downtown, clothing merchants, and when there's no cotton, there's not a lot of people shuffling in to buy.
Phelan says it saddens him to realize that cotton may never be king again in Mississippi as it was when he was a boy. But he says he's sure it will be all right because he and other farmers will do what they need to survive, even if that means switching to another crop. Then he brightens a bit with a mischievous grin.
Can we do something else? Sure. Do you want to be wearing polyester? Go right ahead. Choose your poison.
For VOA News Now, I'm Erica Celeste in the Mississippi Delta.